open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Revelations chapter 18. Revelations chapter 18, we're going to continue through this amazing book that was given to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. We have been looking at it verse by verse. We've seen so much already come to be, things that John received that were, things that would be, and things that had been. We've saw the three judgments that God has thrown upon this world or will come upon this world, and the sealed trumpet and vile judgments. We saw a war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his, and we saw that Michael wins that battle for the Lord. And then now in chapter 16, we were introduced to the subject of Babylon, the fall of Babylon. And what we are doing now in chapter 17 and in chapter 18 are we're looking at what took place in the fall of Babylon. So let's go ahead and pick up now chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every false spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is her judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of a bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Last week in chapter 17, we looked at Babylon, the religious system. Now, when you read in Revelation the term Babylon, it could have to do with three different systems. It can be a religious system, it can be a commercial or economic system, or it even describes a city that we read about here in chapter 18. Now, last week, we begin looking at the fall of Babylon, the religious system. Somewhere in our future, if the rapture happened today, we are going into 7 years of tribulation. This world will go into times that they've never seen before. The judgments of God will be poured out upon this world. There will be a man named the Antichrist who will raise up in power. He will be supported by the false prophet that has powers to do miracles. And also a one-world religion will come together. Now, we see it happening already. All you have to do is look at the signs before you, and we see this one-world system in play now. That religious system will be destroyed during the tribulation period. It will be supported for a while. There will be a seven-headed beast of the Antichrist, the beast that will support it. 10 kings will lend their power to support that religious organization, that one world church that will come to be. But we saw at the end of chapter 17 that those 10 kings will try to fight against the Lord. They will lose, and in losing, they will turn on the harlot that is called the mother of harlots of the Babylon, and they will turn on that religion with the Antichrist support and destroy it. That is the religious system that we know as Babylon. It started all the way back in the Old Testament in the time of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, when the people of the world tried to build their way up to heaven. There has been a false religion then, and there's been a false religion all the way until the day that we live right now. It is alive and well, but we see it will come to its end there in the tribulation period. Now, chapter 18. You say, Brother Terry, what does it have to do with? We look at the commercial Babylon, and we look at the city Babylon. During the Antichrist reign, this man that takes over the world power, he will also take control of the economic situation in the world. He will do that through what? The mark, his name, and the number 666. You will have to come under his economic reign and rule, or you're not going to be able to purchase and buy and sell. So if you're a business owner in the tribulation period and you want to conduct business, it will have to be under the heading of the Antichrist and this false prophet. There will be a world economy at that time. A Babylonish economy, a commercialism that we see in chapter 18 that's going to come to its end. Now let's pick up and see how all this happens. Babylon, the city. Is it Rome? Is it the ancient city Babylon that will be rebuilt? I don't think so. Is it this commercial system that I've been speaking about that we see the world is preparing for now? I believe so. But notice verse 1, we have the announcement of the fall of Babylon. The commercial fall, it says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now notice, there is a heavenly communicator. There is an angelic being that comes from heaven. Now, I don't know who this angel is here, But by what I read in verse 1, he's pretty powerful. When you understand that the very glory of this angel lightens the entire earth. So that's amazing to me. It's a very contrast to what's going on during the tribulation period, to where there's so much darkness, there's so much evil, so much wickedness, so much sinfulness, but yet God still has a light bearer in this angel. And that reminds me that Jesus said of us, we are the light of the world. We're living in a darkened world right now. Are we shining forth the glory of God? Can the world see his light through me and you? I mean, God uses an angel here to communicate his message and his glory. Shouldn't we be doing that right now ourselves? This world's getting darker every day. We saw that in Sunday school this morning. If there's ever been a time that me and you, God's children, we who call ourselves Christians, church members, we should be shining so brightly that the world cannot stand not to see us. They have to take notice of us. So we see this angel, and he comes and he lightens the earth. And in verse 2 he says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. I could preach another whole message on how we should be crying out mightily with a strong voice for the Lord. But he's saying, Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now notice the corruption of this commercial Babylon and this city Babylon here. There are two things that are mentioned there in verses 2 and 3. Notice first all the word devils there. Demonism, demonic spirits. You know, they're real, believe it or not. They could probably be one sitting right next to you right now. Now, Brother Bob, you done good, brother. He looked this way. He didn't look toward his wife. That you knew what to do there. But listen, during the tribulation period, there is going to be demonic spirits, an evil of dimension infection during the 7-year period. We know that Michael and his angel fight against Satan and his angels. They lose and they're cast down, them demons, to earth. So can you imagine when the demons have free access to roam this world and do their meanness? Yeah, you know, this world ain't ready. This world is not ready for what's coming. You're going to have this impact of demonism. Also, you see the word in verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, drunkenness, an entire world that is charmed by the lures of this political, religious, commercial system and city. They're going to be intoxicated. The people of the tribulation period, they're going to be intoxicated for what she has to offer Babylon there. It's just like an individual, a drunken who seeks out more wine and alcohol, even to his detriment, but they seek it out because they want it. That's what the people, they're going to seek out this world system, this commercial system, because they want to be a part of it. There will be depravity, there will be demonism, there will be drunkenness, and you can have all this free of religious interference. You see, you're going to have Babylon, the religious system. You're going to have Babylon, the commercial system. You're going to have Babylon, the political system. You're going to have Babylon, this city here. And all of that will be upholding the things that mankind wants to do. And that's simply what? Immorality, wickedness without the judgment of religion. Religion will embrace it and promote it during the tribulation period. The one world church, the one world religion will support the deeds of the Antichrist for a time. We got that going on today. We got religion today that they support immorality. We got churches that no longer preach against living in sin, living together before marriage, alcohol, drugs, homosexuality. See, we got religions now that are embracing that. Not only embracing it, but embracing it to a point to where they're trying to force all religions to do that. So it'll be no different during the tribulation period. So you're going to have people who want to live the way they want to live their life, free from religion, telling them that they can't do it. That's coming. God is going to let them have what they wish for. And we see it taking place here. The angel is warning that this system is coming, but this system will fall. Notice verse 4, what God says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people.'" Now I got a big red question mark where it says "my people" there. Who is the angel speaking for God that's saying, "Come out, my people"? Who are the "my people" here? Is this the Jewish people in the tribulation period that God is calling to not get entangled with this system? Is it those who are saved during the tribulation period? If you put people being saved during the tribulation period, is this people who were saved before the rapture that went into the tribulation period? You study all that out. You come to your conclusion there, but I know that in the tribulation period, there are a group of people that God calls my people, and God is saying, come out from amongst that mess. Don't get caught up in their sinfulness. It's kind of like when God had to drag Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God doesn't want his people to be involved in that. So we see there's a separation in verse 4. Notice verse 5. It says, "For her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." You see, the Tower of Babel never reached heaven, but her sins did. False religion and iniquity has caught the eye of God, and God will bring his judgment upon it. God is patient for a while, but God's patience and mercy will not last forever, and his judgment must come, and it will come. We've seen it throughout the history of the Bible. God, he is merciful to people. He is long-suffering. He loves, he wants people to be saved and be right. But there will come a time when God says, that is enough. And God will send his judgment upon sin. Notice verse 6. He says, "Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she has filled, filled her to her double." In other words, ancient Babylon was a wicked city. It was the city of Nebuchadnezzar, the city of Nimrod. It done some horrific things to God's people. When they took over Israel, when they captured the land, they slew the women, the children. They would rip the babies out of mother's belly and cast them over the cliffs. God says, that's all come to my mind. He says, during the tribulation period when Babylon falls, he said, I want you to give double unto her what she's gave to God's people. That will be her sentence. And then notice verse 7. "How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." Wow, pride has filled this city, has filled this religious and political and economic system to where they think they're untouchable. Let me just throw out a word to you. Nobody is untouchable to God. Where can you go and hide from God? Bible says you go to the depths of the sea and there he is. You go to the furthest distance of space and God is there. You see, people think they're untouchable. I've talked with people. God ain't going to do nothing. God can't touch me. God ain't going to bother me. Folks, if you're sitting in this building right now, God knows your very name. He knows the very hairs on your head. He's numbered them. Now, Brother David, it seemed like yours got a little less since the last time I seen you, so you've made it easier on God to keep up with yours. But listen, let me just warn you that you will not outrun God. You will face him one day, just as this city will, just as that religious system will, the commercial system and the political system of the tribulation, they will all come into account before God. You will meet him as judge or as savior. And that determines what you do right now in life. And your decision for Christ or not. You reject Christ, you meet God in wrath. You accept Christ and you meet him in mercy and love. But guaranteed, you will, just as them, they will stand before God. Notice verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Judgment will come in one day. I don't know if this is the city of Rome here. A lot of commentaries, a lot of religious people believe this is representing the city of Rome. It could represent Washington, D.C. It could represent other wicked cities. But I do know that this city's judgment will come in 1 hour. Everything all right for a moment, living in sin and selfishness, and then it happens. A city lost and destroyed. Burn up by the judgments of God. You know, I've known cities that have been wiped out in a day. Go down to Biloxi, Mississippi, and look what happened in Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Camille. Go out to California, whole city were just burn up in a day. Raging fires. Cities have been buried by volcano ash in one moment. You see, it's going to happen. Not will it happen, not when will it happen, but it's going to happen. Judgment is going to come. And what the Revelator John is seeing, he saw all the torture and the torment that God's people have gone through at the hands of the dictator, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and those that would not receive the mark, who were killed and martyred. He saw all the blood shed. And God saying, you know, I remember that, I see that. And for my saints and my prophets, that this city has shed so much blood on, they will come up to remembrance. And folks, their storm will come very quickly. But notice the attitude. This is you get down to verse 9 through about verse 16. Notice there are four attitudes to this system falling. When I say system, I'm talking about the economic system of the tribulation period. I'm talking about this city, whatever city this is. There are four responses or reactions to it. Notice in verse 9. You have the monarchs. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication have lived and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now you have these kings who have proffered through this city and this system. They've received protection and power. Are the kings that are mentioned in verse 9, are they the 10 kings that lent their power to the beast to support that false religion? I mean, those countries and those kingdoms, they will have trade deals. They will profit from all this commercialism. No different than we are today. Think of all the trade deals that are going on in this country and those that should be going on and some that shouldn't be going on. See, there'll be trade deals. So they're going to be kings. They're going to be political powers who are just making money off of this system here. But then all of a sudden it's gone. And what are they doing? They're wailing. They're lamenting. They're crying. But it doesn't stop there. You go down to verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Wow. All these manufacturers who sold their goods through this system in this city, they don't have a market now. You know, I remember one year we were in the watermelon business and we had so many watermelons, but there was no market for watermelons. Brother Randy, you know what you do? You just watch them rot in the field. You just watch all them dollar bills and them little round watermelons just deteriorate. Brother Richard, no different than you if you got all them flowers and you have no market to sell them at. You see, the merchants, they will be crying out because they are so engrossed in materialism. They're only living to sell and make money and get things in this life. And in a moment, they realize it's gone. Their profits, their possibilities, all that is lost in a moment. There again, it doesn't stop there because you go to verse 17 through 19 and there are the sailors, the mariners. The ships are lined up with their goods, but there's no place to sell them. the job losses. The people who go from riches to rags overnight. Can I give you a warning here? When you begin to live for the things of this life, God can take them in a moment. God can reach in and snatch somebody from your family so quickly when you put that family member before God. He can take your possessions. He can take your home. He can take that job that you live for. He can snatch it away. You see, they rejected Christ. They're living for themselves. And God reaches in and affects all of them. From those that are politically high, even to the sailors that are on the ships. There again, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what have you gained? But it doesn't stop there. There's another group that I really like in verse 20. Notice the different attitude. You have those who are wailing because of the loss, but now notice verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Wow, there's going to be rejoicing in heaven when this system collapses and this city is destroyed. The economic ruin that this world will see, there's going to be rejoicing in heaven. You say, Brother Terry, that doesn't sound right. You got to understand, then we'll have the mind of Christ. Then we'll understand and see the full picture. You see, throughout the history of mankind, false religion has slaughtered millions upon millions of God-fearing people. And even during the tribulation period, where it'll be a host of people killed who will not bow to the Antichrist, God is going to honor them. God's got to honor them by sending judgment upon this system in this city. Notice what else happens there in verse 21. A mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone, a big grinding stone. You ever been to Cade's Cove? They got them lined up, these huge stones that they've carved out of the mountain that they turn on those wheels that grind the grain and all. There's going to be a great millstone, and he cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Illustration. I've thrown a rock into a lake before, and I like the splash, kind of neat. But any little splash going to happen here. God's going to take this whole city out. And he uses that little phrase at the end of verse 21, no more. Notice the no mores that goes on from then. It says, no more Babylon will be found at all. Verse 22, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. God solid cuts the music out. I put in my outline, the party's over. The music has stopped and the celebrations have ended. All the doings that they were doing have come to naught. Notice in verse 21, it goes on to say, no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. No more craftsmen, no more building and making their idols. No more industry. All that's going to be shut down in a day. And then you look in verse 23. And the light of a candle shall no more shine, or shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of a bridegroom and of a bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Wow, it sounds to me no weddings, no happiness, no joy. You leave Christ out of a situation and a setting and a life, and that's what it turns out. No happiness, no joy, no nothing. It all comes to an end. And he says why at the end of verse 23, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. You see, Babylon represents everything that is evil, everything that is sinful. The murders from the beginning of Cain all the way up to the last one that's murdered. And God says, I'm going to judge that. I'm going to revenge my saints upon this earth. Now, I don't know what city this is, to be honest with you. I lean thinking it's maybe wrong, but here's the question I have. Be it a church system, be it a commercial system, be it a city itself that's being spoken about here, they all come under judgment. Now here's my question for you this morning. What are you living for? I know what they were living for back then. It told us. Did you notice all the merchandise that they were selling? The cinnamon? I said that word right. I couldn't say it the other night. My wife is smiling. Y'all don't understand that story, but it was a neat, it took a while to get that there. Gold and silver in verse 12, precious stone. List all these things. And then at the very end it says, in the souls of men. Wow. You can see where their prerogative was. On the pleasures of life. The souls of men were down on the last scale of it all. What are you living for, really? What's your priority in life? You're only here for a short time. These people were living for the wrong thing. They were living just to get and have. Who is your priority? Who's your master? Who do you serve? You serve somebody. Either sin, self, or the Savior. You serve one of those three. I challenge you to make sure you are serving the Savior. Don't be caught off guard like these were. Wasted life. The tragedy, so many of them. The tragedy of this city, whatever city it was. It could have been a city on a hilltop for God. But it was a city of wickedness and sin and pleasure and selfishness for Satan. And God said, I won't stand for that. You know, God's not going to stand for sin in our life. He will not stand for sin in His church. And He will not stand for sin in this world. Because sin will be judged. It'll either be judged at the cross of Calvary where it's forgiven, or it will be judged under the wrath of Almighty God, like this city and this commercial system. Alas, Babylon has fallen. Fallen in a day. And so many people's world was turned upside down in a moment. Don't let God turn your world upside down in a moment. Choose Him. Not only choose Him as your Savior, live for Him. Don't put nothing ahead of Him. Because He wants to be first in your heart and in your life. Put Him first. Live for Him. Serve Him, worship Him, and I guarantee you, you will have the best life that you can ever have. But if you don't, there's only trouble coming. Bow your heads just